I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, you can find them on page 871. We're going to do something a bit odd this morning, not the first time. I'm sure it won't be the last time that I ever do something odd. But I'm going to preach a message on the same passage that our guest preacher, Aaron Turner, preached to us last week. And so you know, I'm not doing this because I disagree with anything that Aaron told us. Not even really that that sermon was lacking in any way. But I was just greatly ministered to last week by Aaron's words to us and by this portion of Scripture. And I just love the way he drew us into this passage, into the heart of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord. And the passage, these words ministered to me so last Sunday and continue to do so throughout the week. And I pray that as we ponder this passage even more, that you too will continue to be ministered through it. Our passage is going to be Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. Let's turn our attention again to the reading of God's holy, living, and inerrant word. Luke writes, "And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you who are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, was not dressed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow's thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world, meaning the Gentiles, seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is God's word for you today. The grass may wither, and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Lord God, as we read here, you care for seemingly insignificant things. You care for lilies of the field. You care for the grass. You care for ravens of the air. As Aaron reminded us last week, you care also for the cattle of Nineveh, in addition to the lost people of Nineveh. And we thank you that you care for us. You care for us so because you are all-knowing. You care for us and provide for us, for you are a good Father to us. Help us, Lord, to be drawn into those truths again today through your word, through your spirit, through your very self. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, here are some things that I wrote down from Aaron's sermon last week. These are pretty close to what he said, I think. I acknowledge maybe I phrase some of this in my own words, but some of the things that Aaron encouraged us with last week as we looked at this passage is, if we are to escape the temptations of the world, our hearts must be made free from anxiety about these things. And he asked, how is it possible for us to be free from anxiety? And he encouraged us as by having a sure confidence in God's love, by having a sure confidence in his commitment to provide for us. He said so much of human activity is rooted in anxiety, in trusting in ourselves rather than looking for God's provision. That anxiety occurs as we're not trusting God as our Father, not trusting his promises to provide us. Further, he said, because God loves us, we don't have to anxiously seek the things of this life. And because God loves us, we ought to diligently seek the life to come. And then finally, the definition of anxiety that Aaron gave. Anxiety is a distress of one's heart and mind brought about by uncertainty. And he said it's a future-oriented fear. And I appreciate all those things that Aaron said. I affirm them all. But again, after pondering over this passage last Sunday and these days of the last week, the Lord just drew me in ever more into this passage, into the truths that we find contained in it. And he led me to ponder more how it is that we can be free of anxiety, to be free of worry. As I pondered this passage, I also recognized how it's actually a wonderful passage for us to meditate on during this time of Advent. So if you'll grant me a little bit of time, let's ponder this passage a little bit more here this morning. In this passage, Jesus promises that God will provide for his followers. And by extension, that includes you and I as well. God will provide for you. And he has provided for you. And if you ever doubt that God will provide for you, remember Advent. Remember Christmas. Remember the Father's gift of his Son given to us. Emmanuel, come to us. As we see the Lord's table set before us this morning, if you ever doubt whether or not the Father will provide you with that which you truly need, look upon this table and remember Christ. Remember his cross. See here your Father's provision for you. In our passage, Jesus tells his disciples, do not be anxious. He says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Do not be anxious. And would you agree that another way of understanding those words, do not be anxious, another way of understanding that is, do not worry, or be at peace. In this passage, Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying to you and I, be at peace. Be at peace. As men and women, boys and girls who have been redeemed by the Lord and who walk with Jesus, we can be at peace. But how and why? How can we have peace? Why can we have peace? Mommy? We've got several reasons, answers for those questions that I'll suggest to you. And the first is what I've already made reference of several times this morning, and that is that God is our Father. We can be at peace because God is our Father, and we are His dearly loved children, and He is a good Father. Like any good father, a good father provides for his children. And certainly the Lord is the greatest, the kindest, the most faithful, the most loving of all good fathers. The Lord provides for us. Here I think of some of the cats that our family has rescued. We've got a lot of cats. I used to not be a cat person. I was exclusively a dog person. But in these last years, the Lord has made us all in our homes, maybe with a bit of an exception of Noah, He has made us cat people. And we have taken in, I believe the count might be 7 stray cats. Over the years. That's how many we have now. We've actually had a couple others that have come and gone over the years. And I was reminded of these cats this week and the way that it's possible to be at peace when you have confidence that you will be provided for. I think especially of one of our cats, Donald. Now, when our cats came to us, they were all feral. They were scavengers. They lived out in the world and they had to fight to get food. They had to seek to find shelter. They didn't know where their next meal would come from. They weren't sure when they would eat today that they would be able to find something for tomorrow. But we're reminded in this passage, aren't we, about how the Lord provides for even such as those. When our cats first came into our home, and especially I remember with Donald in particular, when this cat came into our home, he was this little itty bitty kitty. He ate his weight in food every day. Why would he do that? Because he was concerned, he was worried, just what was the likelihood that he would have another meal. He didn't know that there was more food where that food came from. And he ate and he ate and he ate. He gorged himself each and every time he would eat. Now, Donald has gotten used to receiving the provision that he receives from us. And this cat, who once had to fend for himself, is now completely resting in the confidence that he has, that he doesn't have a care in the world. And this cat is just always stretched out on his back, not a care in the world. You know, we can be a lot like feral cats. We might think that we have to fend for ourselves too. And as a feral cat, we're faced with a great many uncertainties. Will I ever eat again? Can I find food? Where can I find shelter? How can I get out of the cold and the rain? But redeemed of the Lord, you don't have to go through life that way. Maybe once we did before we knew God as our Father. But we can be free from worry and we can be at peace because God is our Father. One of the ways that we can know freedom from fear and freedom from worry and anxiety, one of the ways that happens is when we live out of our identity. We live out of our identity as a dearly loved child of God. In the same way that Donald can rest being in our home, being provided for by us, how much more can you and I be at rest in the sure provision and protection of the Lord? I often remind you of this phrase, the indicatives empower the imperatives. We don't carry out the commands of Scripture in our own strength, but we live out of all that's true now about us as men and women, boys and girls who've been redeemed by the Lord. We live out of our identity. We live out of the power of our new realities. And our new reality, our new identity, is that we have a Father in heaven, and He cares for us. He cares for us fully and deeply. He's pledged Himself to us. Our identity is also that of one who's been made to be the people and the sheep of the Lord. Christ says in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Fear not, little flock. Here I'm reminded of Psalm 100. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Because this is who we are, we can be at peace. We can also be at peace, and we can be free of worry as we entrust ourselves more fully to the Lord Jesus and to the Father. Look at verse 28, and there's that passage that I already made reference of. "O you of little faith." Christ invites us to a closer walk with Him, a more dependent relating to Him and to the Father. We can be more and more free from worry as we trust more fully in the Lord. You know, that's Christ's invitation of John 14:1, when He says, "Trust in God, trust also in Me." Making reference to John 14 reminds me of a couple other ways that we're able to be free from worry. We can be at peace. We can be free of worry because Christ has given us His Holy Spirit. And He speaks to His disciples. He speaks to us about that gift of the Holy Spirit. And there in chapters 14 and 16 especially, He tells us about the peace that can be ours through the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. He says in John 14:27 that a special peace will be ours as the Spirit is given to us. There in John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We as Christians can have peace. We can be free from the worry that Christ speaks of here in Luke 12 because of that unique, special, supernatural gift of His Holy Spirit given to us. And because the Spirit's been given to us, we can have peace because the Spirit grows in us the spiritual fruit of peace. That's Galatians 5:23, along with all the other gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit grants us those gifts as we abide in Jesus. We see more of the blessings that come to us as we abide in Jesus from Jesus' words in John 15. There in verses 7 through 9, He says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. As the Father has loved Me, so I have loved you. abide in my love. And abiding in Christ is really the key to having peace. Abiding in Christ is the key to living the Christian life and of coming to know and to experience all the blessings that are ours as a result of our being brought into union with Christ. And this concept of abiding in Christ is actually something that Amy and I have been talking a lot about these past months. And we would like to talk more with you throughout the coming year of what it means, what it looks like, and the peace that can be ours that comes through abiding in Christ. In this Advent season, we remember also that we can have peace and be free of worry and anxiety because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace who has come to us. We can be at peace because of the truth behind the proclamation that the angels made that night in the fields outside of Bethlehem. When the angel proclaimed, "Fear not, for behold, I give you good news of great joy, which shall be to the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." We can have peace. Peace in our hearts and peace with God through trusting in that one who was born outside of Bethlehem that day. We can have peace because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, come to us. God, Emmanuel, come to us. We can have peace through what Christ achieved for us in His first coming. We can be at peace, we can be free of worry and anxiety because in His first advent, in His first coming, Jesus overcame the world. And because Jesus has overcome, we can have peace. Jesus says in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world." And of course, He did that on the cross. And He did that by living a perfect life. He did that by perfectly and completely fulfilling the law of God on our behalf. And He promises that all who trust in Him, all whom He's brought into a reconciled relationship with the Father, the one who has overcome, promises that He makes all those who trust in Him to be able to overcome as well. 1 John 5:4-5. "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" All these things are true. And because of that, we do not need to worry. We do not need to be anxious. But we can be at peace. But this doesn't mean that life will always be easy. This doesn't mean that life will always be without matters that bring great distress upon us. And I know that many of you have experienced those times of great and awful distress. We all have to various degrees, and we all certainly will. And some in particularly difficult ways. As I was thinking about how the Lord provides for us, and how Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, He gives us His Spirit to dwell with us, to be our counselor, our friend, our guide, our comforter. I was reminded this week of Psalm 40. Listen to how the Lord walks with us and provides for us. How He meets us in our state of needfulness. David writes, saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. He goes on to say, as for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. You'll not withhold your mercy. Your steadfast love, your faithfulness will ever preserve me. We can be at peace because the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord is upon us. And then the last couple verses of Psalm 40. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. I'm really struck by this last verse. Although David is saying, the Lord has delivered me, and he points to the faithfulness and steadfast love of the Lord, encouraging the people of God to recognize that the Lord will always provide and protect and deliver them. He concludes by saying this, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. He has met our needs, but we continue to be in ongoing need of him. And he delights to meet those needs. He delights to walk with us during our times of sorrow, our times of suffering. Again, in just a minute, we'll celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. A supper that reminds us of and points us to the work of Christ. You know, in our passage, Jesus promises that the Father will clothe us in a manner even finer than the way in which King Solomon in all of his glory was clothed. We remember that through trusting in Jesus at the cross, our sin was placed upon Jesus. And do you remember what was placed upon us? The righteousness of Jesus. The robe of righteousness. And we who have Jesus as our Savior and God as our Father, we are now clothed in the very righteousness of Christ. Such is the Father's faithful provision to us. Christ promises in our passage that the Father will provide for us. And like he provides food for the ravens, so he will provide that food that you and I need. In the Lord's Supper, we remember that Christ offers himself to us to feast upon him. In the bread and the cup, he offers himself up for that, and he gives himself to us. And he invites us to feast upon him, not in a physical, carnal way, but in a true way, in a spiritual way. Nonetheless, we feed upon Jesus as we partake of the bread and the cup. And as we do that, the Father gives us the spiritual food, the spiritual nourishment that we need for the life of faith. For all these reasons, we can have peace. We can also have peace as we look forward to his second coming, to his second advent. We live between the first and the second coming of Christ. We have peace now because of what Christ has done. And we have peace for the future of what He will yet do. When Christ returns, all those things that trouble us will finally and fully be set right. And every tear will be wiped away. And every fear and cause of anxiety will be gone forever. And the kingdom will come in fullness. So fear not, little flock. You're not an orphan. You have a Father in heaven who knows your needs. And He loves you. And He is committed that He will provide for you. He knows your needs, and He has, and He will meet them. Your Savior has come. Your Savior is coming again. The Spirit of Christ has been given to you and is at work with you. And He walks with you. Emmanuel, and the Spirit of Emmanuel is given to you to help you endure the times of distress and those times that could cause such worry in our lives. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank You for Your many gifts, Your many demonstrations of faithfulness to us, shown so perfectly in the gift of Your Son, Jesus. His work upon the cross, His life, for the way that He revealed You, Father, perfectly to us. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus says it is better for us that Christ would go away and return to the Father so that the Spirit could come and dwell in us now. May we not neglect any of these gifts. The gift of being brought into Your family. The gift of the Father's provision. The gift of the coming of Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. His work on the cross. The gift of His Spirit. You're producing in us the spiritual fruit of peace. Lord, help us to turn to You in those times that we are not at peace. May we remember the encouragements of Scripture to turn to You. And make prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And that as we do that, You promise to give to us the peace of God. You are the God of peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And You have given to us the Spirit of Peace. Lord God, we now pray that You would take these common elements as we prepare to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We pray that You would take these common elements of bread and juice and set them apart. Set them apart for Your holy purposes, Lord, that we may feast on You. The ravens and the cats find sufficient provision. And may this meal and Your Spirit be sufficient provision for us as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the One given to us. Amen. Well, I'll invite the elders to come forward as we prepare to partake of communion. And be reminded all the more of God's provision to you through Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We are the sheep of His flock. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He brings me to places of peace, and He makes ample provision for us. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even as we will one day walk into death itself, even then we can be at peace because God promises that He will walk with us as our shepherd through that valley.
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And again, we see more of his ample provision. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord invites us to come to him, to dwell with him. He has given us his Spirit to dwell with us now. He has given us his Son to dwell with us on earth as he did in his first coming. And he has promised that he will take us to be with him, to dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. And in fact, friends, you already dwell there with him now. That is our current residence, the house of the Lord, in his company. And he gives his overwhelming, abundant provision to us. He did that in that meal that night in the upper room when he gave us his body broken for us, given to us. And as we just read about in Psalm 23, he fills our cup to overflowing. He does not hold back, but he gives abundantly to us. And that gift to us, as Jesus said, is the cup of the new covenant in his blood poured out for the remission of sins. He gives us all that we need. But yet, as we're reminded in Psalm 40, we are still very needful. One of the ways the Lord continues to provide for us is through the nourishment he gives in this meal. We invite you now to feast upon Jesus. A reminder, the outermost ring of the liquid is juice. The inner two are wine. And then the innermost ring of the crackers are gluten-free. And the others are regular. I invite you to partake as you desire. Please hold until all are served.